This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Noel Lim. Jumping on the rubber glove bandwagon is Aspen Group, a Penang-based property developer most famous for co-developing Aspen Vision City at Batu Kawan with IKEA. Aspen plans to manufacture and distribute rubber gloves with a new investor, CMY Capital, owned by prominent businessman and co-founder of RHB Securities, Tan Sri Chua Mayu. To tell us more about this new venture is the CEO of Aspen Group, Datuk Murli Manokaran. Welcome to the show. Analysts are rather sceptical about new rubber gloves makers like Aspen coming into the market as existing big players are ramping up their capacity, while you still need to also get approval from several bodies in different countries, and also a vaccine may be distributed later next year. What is your response to such criticisms?
The macro view is Malaysia. Today, we have global dominance in this industry. And if you look at all the forecasts that are coming in, whether it is pre-COVID, post-COVID, or even after vaccine, that will be available globally, the use of glove has become an essential part of many new industries. We are also looking at how could we help to retain Malaysia's position as the global leader. If you look at it around the world, Thailand, China, and many parts of other countries are also looking at expanding capacities or entering into this venture. When we look at the industry during the COVID time, especially during the MCO, we were definitely looking at an opportunities where are areas that we can expand, we can explore a new business opportunity because our existing business is going to come under severe pressure due to the MCO and COVID. And this pressure is not going to be a short-term pressure. It's going to be a mid-term pressure because the entire world practically come to standstill, and many parts of the world has not even opened up the economy to back to normal. So when we look at that, glove industry obviously is one area of PPE which we feel it is attractive to us. It is not like masks. Masks is very easy to produce, and ramping up production for mask production or any other PPE is very easy. While when we look at the glove, the process is not easy. It is a very long, lengthy process. It's a heavy industry. But the beauty about this industry for Malaysia is geographically, we have a huge advantage due to abundance of natural resources. And some of the natural resources comes very much more affordable here. And the other part which really excites me to think about the entire supply chain, I could say that even 99% of the supply chains are Malaysian-based. It doesn't need to look for any external supply chain to get into this industry. And now you look at in terms of other sectors like airlines, F&Bs, hotels, everybody started using gloves as a standard SOP. And we don't think even with vaccine came into play, everybody prayed that the vaccine will be available for the masses soon as possible. But even with that, we think the demand for gloves is continually going to soar higher. And the current capacity expansion by all the main players or the existing players is still not sufficient to cater for the supply in the next 2 to 3 years easily.
Could you give us a sense of the numbers? Like if, let's say, a vaccine was found end of next year and is distributed in the US successfully, what would world demand look like and world supply?
Today, we're talking about we reached 200 billion this year in terms of supply, from 180 billion last year. So every year, the compounding increase for glove usage, even before COVID, has been very robust. It grows about 10 to 12%. Now they are predicting the growth for gloves from 200 billion, about 15 to 20% per annum. Okay. While we all looked at vaccine as one of the most important milestones for the world to come up from this pandemic, but after we come up from the pandemic and vaccine is readily available for the masses, the attitude, the habit, and the standard operating procedure for many industries will continue to be very careful. So to us, vaccine itself will contribute to the huge demand because to administrate the vaccine itself, you need a lot more gloves. Many countries around the world, even the developed country, do not have gloves as a PPE stockpile in the past. Okay, what they are doing now, other than they are fighting the pandemic on the front line, Governments around the world, especially the developed countries, are also ramping up their stockpiles, okay, minimum 6 to 10 months. Okay, but if you look at on the other side, which is the developing world or the third world country or the poorer countries, they are at the moment only fighting the front line. They have not even started to stockpile. WHO, UN are advising all the countries, whether you're a poor country or rich countries, you know, the developed country and the rich country has to help the poorer country to overcome this post-vaccine, to also do a stockpile as part of health procedure or health protocol. So the numbers we have today, 15 to 20% compounded increase for the next 2 to 3 years is a very reasonable expectations by the market. And so this demand, this cycle is going to continue at least for the next 3 years. This is what we are looking at today.
So demand is one thing, supply is another. So right now, I think, Aspen, you're making a case that most existing glove makers in Malaysia is running at full capacity, and there's something like a production backlog of 4 to 6 months in fulfilling orders. And what do you expect might be the backlog by end 2021 or 2022?
You see, today, most of the big players or established players are running at about 400 days. Some of them, I mean, these are the data that we have. Okay, they're either 12 months fully booked or more than a year fully booked from today. The other issues today that we face in the market is the shortage of raw material. There's a severe shortage of nitrile, NBR, in the market today. That is for the synthetic gloves. You know, we call nitrile medical gloves, powder-free. In US, you can't, the medical industry do not use the latex gloves due to its protein content. What we are looking at is to complement in certain areas where exclusively there is a severe shortage in the higher end glove productions. You know, that's the directions that we are taking. You know, we are not looking at industrial glove at this moment. We are not looking at the household gloves at this moment. We are looking at the current shortage of medical examination gloves for various parts of the world. Okay, so I think that is the main issue. So looking at next year, 2021, we foresee there's at least 50 to 100 billion glove shortage currently in the market from what we are looking at. And the supply that we can bring maximum from our initial production to the end of 2021 is not more than 700 million gloves. And the process has to go through a very stringent criteria to meet various requirements, including today, if you look at most of the gloves goes to the Europe, required to do virus penetration tests, which pre-COVID, these are not a requirement. Today, it is a requirement.
So your plants will be ready in March next year, and then you will still need to get approvals and the tests that you mentioned. So when do you think you would actually be able to sell?
A lot of people think that the processes has to be one after the other, but what I can share with you, many processes can be done parallel. If you look at, as a new entrance, we are the only one that building the business from scratch.
And why is that so?
We are looking at this seriously as one of our core business in the next 5 to 10 years. The working condition within the glove manufacturing plant, especially if the plants are old, it is not very conducive. You know, there's a lot of microscopic view on these sectors now. A lot of policymakers are looking at how we produce the gloves, how people's conditions working in the industry. We built one of the latest manufacturing plant with all the latest technologies available in the market today, and we can continue to be sustainable in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yes, I understand. I think some of the existing small players, I think the processes are still quite manual. Yeah, so you're looking to up production capacity from 1.1 to 1.5 billion pieces per year. Why is this the right level of capacity?
The increase for the phase 1A from 1.1 to 1.5 is more towards meeting the demand that we are receiving today for certain specific clients in the US and in the Europe. And we think that we have the bandwidth to increase by another 400 million gloves a year. And that bandwidth also gives us the opportunity to work with bigger player in the market. So this is the key reason why we are looking at that. But beyond that, we are also ramping up production fairly quickly for our phase 1B. By first quarter of 2022, we should be able to ramp up our capacity from 1.5 to 4 billion gloves annually. That is in a span of 7 months, we are able to ramp up. Because the plant that we are building are already building it for close to 10 billion glove capacity. And if you look at, we are one of a very few glove manufacturer in a high-tech park. Your infrastructure, your utilities, your compliances globally are already met today compared to buying a piece of land in a very remote area. And if, for you to go through all those requirements, compliances is going to take longer.
For phase one, your investment is about 105 million ringgit. So I suppose that's a comfortable investment for you, and hence this production capacity or 1.5 billion. It's like a Goldilocks size, not too, big, not too small.
We are not really locked in on the investment numbers, but we are looking at, because, you know, we are a public company, you know, we have to guide the shareholder accordingly, the amount of investments, and we are new to this industry. So we also want to make sure that all the stakeholders are comfortable that the company is optimizing its operation cash flow to ensure that we also have existing operations that we want to move, and we have a new ventures that we are going ahead.
How much forward purchases do you expect to lock in by end of this year?
I don't know whether I can say this without telling it to the exchange, but at the moment we are negotiating for the entire capacity that we're going to bring in next year. We should be able to forward purchase within the next month or two.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, we're speaking with Datuk Muli Manokaran, the CEO of Aspen Group, a property developer that is also diversifying into rubber glove making with CMY Capital, owned by prominent businessman Tan Sri Chua Mayu. After this, we'll discuss how Aspen will compete with far larger producers. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
We're speaking with Datuk Muli Manokaran, the CEO of Aspen Group. There are a number of players in the market, the big two being Top Glove and Hartha Lega. How will you compete with them?
Okay, obviously, in terms of operation cost and efficiency, the bigger player may have an advantage because they have scale. But bear in mind as well, many of their plants are old. You know, it is not optimized for latest technologies. We do have latest technologies which we can compete production output per hour much more higher than most of the existing player they have. Unless they have a new lines that came in the last 24 months, then maybe they will be able to compete in terms of same capacity output. When I say the higher end means we are looking at more of nitrile medical exam glove, because that is where the serious shortage is. And the shortage is not just because the increase in demand or the production backlog. The shortage is also because the availabilities of raw material. Again, it is a manufacturing process from oil residual. But when it comes to rubber glove consists of many different parts in the world supply chains. You know, it has industrial grade, it has an auto industry, you even have food industry has become one of the major industry now that consuming gloves in a big scale. You look at all the canned food industry, for example, you look at the US today, the per capita use of glove has gone from 30, 40 to 150 today per capita. You know, yesterday, one of my friends from US sent to me NBA player trainings for their game. And even the players, when dealing with the balls, are using gloves to do their training.
The current ASPs are about $70 US dollars per 1,000 gloves, nitrile gloves, more than double the pre-COVID-19 levels. Of course, you know, the price may differ according to the producer. At what price are you locking in at now?
Well, you see, today, the dynamic of setting or benchmarking ASP has changed tremendously. I'll give you an example. The raw material for nitrile, when the prices of gloves was about 30 US dollar per 1,000 piece, was in a circle of 1,001 to 1,002 per ton US dollar. The price today has increased to 2,002 to 2,004. Okay. Next month, the spot price for nitrile is quoting at close to 3,000 US dollar per ton. Okay. So the raw material has gone up by more than 200%. Okay, and there's continue to have a severe shortage in the market. So the pricing of our ASPs are very much relative to the prices of raw material. So the big names has came out and says that the prices of gloves ASP is going to increase by 30% next month in October, and November, December by another 15%. So that will lead to more than 100 US dollar per 5,000 pace. So ours, we are looking at the first supply to come in somewhere in the middle of next year. It will be depending on what are the cost of raw material is going to be at that point in time. So our pricing mechanism will work 30 days prior to X factory delivery out from the factory. Yeah, so I can't give you what will be the price, but whatever the market price at the point of delivery will be the price that we are selling. The dynamic is the buyer want to secure supply. They want a guaranteed supply, you know, and they are willing to pay any market price at that prevailing time. And that market price is driven by the cost of the raw material.
So there is a shortage in nitrile raw material. And I think some reports show that key manufacturers are already reaching production limits and additional capacity is only going to kick in late next year. So given that you are a relatively small player, what's the backup plan to secure a consistent source?
But I think we do have a wide range of network globally from our past experience as well. Not only Aspen, CMY Capital as well. So we do have network to pull for the supply of raw material that we have. That's all I can share with you. We have secured raw material supply for our production next year.
So for, I think, Top Glove, for example, they announced that they want to get into the production of nitrile raw material. So would Top Glove be maybe one of your suppliers?
This is the first time I'm hearing it. What we know that LG Chemical and Petronas is building a plant. The plant will take a while. You know, if you look at Petronas and LG's announcement, they say that the first production may come in end of 2022 or 2023, right? Malaysia is not a big raw material producer, although we have Sintoma in Johor as one of the main supplier for the local market. We do have supply substantially come from Korea. You have Kumo, LG, and a few other suppliers from Korea. Then you have China. But China, at the moment, they are trying to keep the supply of raw material for their domestic use. So there was a restriction of exporting out nitrile from China at the moment. And you do have some that comes from Bangkok as well. So we have to source around the world for a sufficient quantity of raw material. So it comes from everywhere. Any new entrants may not be supplier to us next year. But moving forward, yes, if Top Gloves are into the industry and they have enough capacity for us, then we would be definitely be happy to working with them. But I don't think that they're able to bring supply in 2021 or even 2022.
Aspen is working with Tan Sri Chuan Mayu through CMY Capital. They own 25% in this venture. So who approached who and you know what does Chua bring to the table that Aspen can't do on his own?
Well, I have a lot of respect to Tan Sri Chua as a very well successful businessman investor. Tan Sri Chua, other than his vast network that he has accumulated over years of his experience, he's also plays an advisory roles. And we, on the other hand, are looking at managing the operations, building up the global supply network. And other than that, what we are really interested is, you know, so we have to also look at what are the natural resources that we are using to produce these numbers of productions, the amount of raw materials, the amount of natural resources, and how do we dispose this product as a waste eventually. So there's a lot of ideas, improvement in terms of innovation and technology moving forward, not just from the production itself, including material science. We foresee the industry is going to change tremendously in the next 5 years.
I know you mentioned that Kulim High Tech Park offers some good facilities, but why not say in Batu Kawan where you are at now? And then what about, you know, the ease of getting manpower, given that there may be restrictions on hiring foreign workers?
Well, Kulim High Tech Park isn't a high tech park. Batu Kawan is not even a high tech park. Right. In the past, there are not many gloves industry in the high-tech park, except there's one which is now owned by Top Glove. It used to be Scientex, owned by Espion. That's the one and the only one that allowed to operate in a high-tech park setting in the whole country. Right. So we were fortunate that we were able to get to be housed in a high-tech park environment that comply with all the requirements that we need globally, including FDA, CE, you know, and including your wastewater treatment plants from DOEs, and how do we treat the water plant and where do you discharge the wastewater. The second part is the shortage of foreign labors that we can bring in. And Kulim also offer, if you look at many global multinationals or even regional multinationals that based in Kulim, they are able to have a decent numbers of local workers to support the industry compared to heavy reliance on foreign workers. So we are also committed to ensure that as much as possible, we want to employ the locals. Okay, hence we are also introducing a lot of new technologies to the manufacturing process. We're trying also to make sure that the environment within the production lines are much more conducive compared to many players in the market in my past career. So I have a lot of experience on building good class, good manufacturing practice factories. And we see gloves, so far they do not comply to this. And we are able to bring the manufacturing process one notch above so that we hope more locals will join us rather than heavy reliance on foreign labours.
The reason why I draw a comparison to Batu Kawan is because you are a key developer in Batu Kawan. And so I was curious to know why wouldn't you want to, you know, further enhance your property there? Is it because the land is more expensive in Batu Kawan?
Not really. The land is slightly more expensive or about the same as Kulim High Tech Park. But there are a lot of other reasons. I mean, our land bank in Batu Kawan are for mixed use. It's a commercial play. So if I want to do any industrial buildings, we need to go to the industrial zone of Batu Kawan to be there. But one area that a lot of people did not realize that Batu Kawan has a very soft soil. So for the industrial building, the cost of construction pilings are very expensive compared to Kulim. Kulim has a very solid soil, and the cost of construction pilings are way much cheaper compared to what it is in Batu Kawan from our experience as well. Kulim to Penang Port takes 20 minutes, 190-degree roads, if you look at Butterworth-Kulim Expressway. So that is one of the a part of commission to us, or maybe that will be the biggest part of commission for our products to the global supply chain.
And just looking a little bit more long-term, your property development is in Penang, and the state has the third highest number of overhang properties in first quarter before COVID, mostly in the condominium sector. And you already alluded in the early part of the interview that this business is really difficult. So do you foresee the group may eventually exit out of property development and really focus on rubber gloves or other related PPEs?
No, what I said earlier is not the word difficult. I think the industry is going through a consolidation even before COVID. We don't see ourselves completely exiting real estate. Real estate will continue to be one of our major core business. Glove definitely going to be a significant portions of our play as a business entity. And maybe I would even won't be surprised if gloves contribute 60-70% of our revenue and time in the next 5 to 10 years.
Thank you for speaking with us and all the best. Datuk Muli Manokaran, the CEO of Aspen Group. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.